All roads lead to Rome.
Well, the ones we were on, it went around in circles.
Do you, Michael Caine?
I'm not going to bury another Batman.
Another Batman? How many Batmans has he been burying?
Let me tell you,
that's just wonderful. You've got an acquired taste. I don't think you can top it, really, with anything.
Yeah! Got some brown sauce on it.
That's true.
Grazie mille.
Oh, there's too much going on.
Calm. Quiet. It's time for us to go.
Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
And my name is Bill.
So we're on episode 13, lucky number 13.
Right, we're teenagers.
Yay. We can stay out late and go to cool movies and stuff.
What were you doing when you were 13, man, when you were staying out late?
I was hanging out, sneaking out with friends. And
ooh.
One time we went to a cafe and ordered french fries, and we were badasses. That's a true story.
I stuck into an R-rated movie when I was 13.
that's crazy.
Yeah.
So what have you been up to since the last episode?
Not much. Really just looking forward to being on vacation.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it sucks. Work is terrible.
Oh, brutal.
Yeah. Every time I go to work, I'm counting hours until I'm done.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. So for I'm off before you.
Yeah, that's right. You go to Vancouver a few days before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See some movies, go to some concerts.
Yeah, and you've got some press screenings lined up already, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be good.
That's cool. And yeah, festival season is officially kicked off with Telluride that started this weekend. So we'll mention this a couple more times leading into the next month or so. We're both attending Fantastic Fest. Flying to Austin on September 16th, coming back on the 28th, where Bill will stay there in Vancouver for Vancouver International Film Festival. I'll stay for a few days, go back to work, and come back to Vancouver International Film Festival for a few more days. So remind us, what's your target again for both festivals and stuff?
I'm going to really honestly try to get to 150 films.
That's awesome.
Yeah. My top ever is 134. I'm going to 2 festivals this time.
Yeah.
So let's make it 150.
150, man. That's insane. That's awesome. Man.
I don't go to these things to play around. I'm hardcore, man. Full bore. Let's go.
Yeah. In other sort of movie-related news, I was very surprised and very honored that I received my first trailer pull quote for the movie After Party, a film I caught at Whistler Film Festival last year. Gets its release on September 2nd on iTunes. And they used one of my quotes, or two quotes from my review I wrote. So it showed up in the trailer. That was a big surprise for me.
This film was good.
Pretty much. I think I said something cheesy about how it's kind of captures what it's like when you turn 30. I forgot what else I said.
Oh, dude, I think you liked it a little more than I did.
So. Yeah. I quite enjoyed that one.
I remember that screening where it was like myself and the cast and crew.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only people that were there.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, getting back to Fantastic Fest, you just took your shaky face picture. What was that like?
My neck and jaw and everything in my face really hurt. There's one really good one with my tongue sticking out.
Yeah.
It looks pretty good. I might use that one.
That's great.
Yeah.
For our Fantastic Fest badges, well, for everybody who's attending Fantastic Fest, everybody has to take a shaky face picture where you basically just shake your face around and make yourself look crazy. And somebody takes a picture, and then that's going to be your face that shows up on the badge.
I've seen a few good ones this year where people like photoshopped themselves getting punched.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I was like, okay, mine's going to be really simple. I don't care.
Yeah. I saw one guy who was getting punched, and it was like the background of the Matrix and stuff. I was like, that's awesome. So what else? Oh, footy stuff. How's Man U doing?
Shut up. revel in it, man.
I will.
Come back to me when Liverpool's won 2 more championships.
Hey now.
Hey now.
The road starts now with Balotelli.
I woke up this morning at 4:40 a.m. Pacific time to watch Man U versus Burnley. 0-0 draw.
Yeah.
3 games, 2 points.
Yeah, man.
I'm on the bridge. I'm getting close. the bottom looks very long, and I feel like I'm going to hit it pretty quick.
Oh, man.
I don't take my teams losing very well. I live by my teams.
Yeah, yeah.
And this absolutely sucks.
Oh, it's a rough start, man.
Yeah.
I think you put it best just before we started recording. You said Liverpool had a pretty good run, and then they played a real team.
Yeah, they got smoked by Man City.
Yeah, Man City. They're a solid team.
Hey, but City lost today.
Yeah, they did. I know.
The first home loss in like 70 games.
Was that Sunderland or Southampton?
I think it was Stoke.
Stoke, right. Yes. I knew it started with an S. But yeah, that's huge.
Yeah. Now if I can just get 15 other teams to lose the first game, I'll be good.
Hey, you never know.
Yeah. Go United.
Yeah. So
hockey starts in 3 weeks.
Oh, man. I'm so not ready for that. I couldn't even tell you who plays on the top two lines for the Canucks. So I've been out of it for a couple of years.
Pavel Bure.
Yeah.
Cliff Ronning. Yeah. Jeff Cortnell.
Yeah. The Cortnell brothers. Yeah. Kirk McLean.
Yeah.
Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about before we get into it?
No, maybe other than just, once again, thanks for all the people listening, and the hits keep on coming, and we're totally loving it. Thanks to everybody. I said it before last podcast, it's I think it's only getting bigger, so, you know, thanks.
Yeah, good point. I'm thrilled with the numbers we're seeing, and it's really awesome. It's cool to see our viewership or listenership, I guess, increasing with each episode.
People don't need to see us doing this.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, it's amazing. We did receive our first feedback through Facebook, actually, which was pretty cool. A gentleman from Victoria sent us some positive, really nice words. We won't read it out because it was sent to us as a private message, but he had very nice things to say.
Cheers, mate.
Yeah, thanks, man. All right, so are you ready to get into some 60-second rant action?
For sure.
It's the section where we both take 60 seconds or longer to rant about anything film-related.
Usually longer.
Yeah, usually it's probably more accurate to say the 180-second rant, but we make the rules around here, so I'll go first this time. First thing I've had a tough time struggling with over the last few years is the continued disappointment at once great filmmakers or actors. I'm talking about Robert Rodriguez, for example, Johnny Depp. If you rewind a few years ago before Silver Linings Playbook, De Niro was on quite a cold streak, in my opinion. It's so hard to sit through these movies of people I respected a great deal once upon a time. Robert Rodriguez, when he first came out, you know, El Mariachi, Desperado, From Dusk Till Dawn. A
couple of the Spy Kids movies.
Yeah, Spy Kids movies.
A couple of them are not good, but yeah, a couple of them are good.
He was very refreshing, very exciting. I always loved watching Robert Rodriguez movies, but now it's kind of like, it feels kind of like a chore to me now. So I'm kind of, it sucks to love somebody once they first come out and maybe you enjoy their career for a while. They have a bunch of stinkers in a row and then pretty soon you have to cut that cord loose, so...
Damn you, Robert Rodriguez.
Damn you. That's it for me.
My rant is just me being obsessive compulsive about festivals and how I need to know my information now. But at the same time, Fantastic Fest is 2.5 weeks away and we still don't know all the movies, don't know the schedule,
yeah,
don't know a bunch of things.
Yeah.
And I'm getting a little pissed.
Yeah.
Dropped a lot of money on this.
Yeah.
Don't know my schedule yet. Can't even start really looking at films.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of inexcusable. I think you got to get this stuff out to people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The schedule should be up by now.
Yeah. Like Vancouver announces in 3 days, and that festival is 2 weeks later than Fantastic Fest.
Yeah. And Vancouver's super consistent with all that stuff, too. Yeah,
they've been great.
Yeah, even like some people could say, oh, but they're moving into a new venue. But you look at Vancouver, they had to scramble for venues last year, yeah, right? But they still announced everything super quickly.
Vancouver's totally classy. I'm sure Fantastic Fest is going to be perfect. Everything's going to be great. Just it feels like they're scrambling and don't have a clue what they're doing. Maybe I'm just being a little bitch about it. But
yeah,
bring it on. Let's go.
Yeah.
Give me all your information, please.
Yeah. Now. So we can start planning and yeah, stuff.
That's it.
Cool.
Just me being a bitch.
I'll take it, man. I'll take it. Are we ready to move on to some main reviews?
Yeah, for sure.
We'll kick things off with Let's Be Cops. Kind of felt like an extended episode of New Girl, didn't it?
Without Schmidt.
Without Schmidt. And
without Zooey Deschanel's eyes.
Yeah, that's right. I had a fun time with it, but it was just too inconsistent for me.
But like New Girl, New Girl was kind of good the first season,
mm-hmm.
and then it completely lost its charm in the second season.
Ah, I haven't watched all of season two, actually.
So this movie kind of started off as kind of funny, and then it just kind of became the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
I just didn't care, even with the really good leads.
Yeah, Johnson and Wayans, they're very good together. Their timing is pretty good. They're funny.
So yeah, two down on their luck kind of guys decide they're going to go to a costume party. They're going to dress up as cops, and they start to notice that everybody around them treats them like cops because they're really authentic uniforms, and everybody is scared of them, more or less.
Yeah, yeah.
So they decide they're going to just start exploiting it.
Yeah, and the women look them up and down and smile at them and stuff in slow-mo.
Yeah, but that joke is done 4 times.
Oh, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It really doesn't know when to kind of stop the recurring jokes.
Yeah. Nothing really new in this one. As I said, Jake Johnson, Damon Wayans Jr., both really good. Find them quite funny. The girl from Vampire Diaries, Nina Dobrev. Yes, I watch Vampire Diaries.
Oh, yeah, that's
leave,
right.
Leave me alone.
Yeah.
it's not very good, I admit it. She's really cute. But as I said, you know, half hour into this film, I'm like, you got to show me something here.
Yeah.
It's getting really dumb.
Yeah.
And then an hour later, I'm just like, wow, they showed me nothing.
Yeah, and I think I liked it just a little bit more than you, just because of the bit characters like Rob Riggle shows up, and it's actually one of his better performances I've seen in recent years, because he usually just shows up and shouts for 5 minutes, right?
Yeah, he was really good in 22 Jump Street for like a 5 minute cameo.
Yeah, so he's as a sort of character actor, I thought he had a chance to expand a little bit, as much as you can in a film like this.
Rob Riggle plays a real cop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who figures some stuff out and lets them do stuff they're not supposed to do.
Yeah. And if you...
More hilarity.
Hilarity ensues.
Yeah.
And suspension of disbelief is an absolute must.
Yeah.
And it's not easy to do that in this one. The other guy I really enjoyed... It's Keegan-Michael Key, the guy from Key and Peele. He plays like a, what is he, Jamaican guy or something? He has tattoos.
With little Wayne tats all over his face.
He was funny.
He was good. I'll give you that.
Yeah, he was really, really funny. And I think if they had more of him in this film, it could have been a little bit better.
That role would have been a lot better if Terry Crews had played that role.
Oh, Terry Crews, yeah. Terry Crews is a good character actor, too. Yeah. Yeah.
It's light.
Yeah.
If you're drunk or stoned at 2 o'clock in the morning and it's on the movie channel,
yeah,
maybe you'll dig it.
Yeah, give it a chance if it's on Netflix. But there's really no need to go out and make your way out
to pay
$10 to see it. Yeah. So I think we're done with Let's Be Cops,
Let's
right?
Let's not be cops.
Let's not be cops. Let's be podcasters.
Nah. Next.
Next. All right. Next up is the action film that none of us asked for, but Stallone is giving us anyway. The Expendables 3.
Starring all of Hollywood.
Starring all of Hollywood and all of a couple of fighters as well, right?
Yeah, Ronda Rousey and Couture's in it too, right?
Yeah, Couture.
Yeah.
Is
there a plot in this film?
I don't think there is. I was thinking about this and what it actually.
That's your mistake right there, man.
I was thinking about it and I was like, okay, the old action stars, Stallone forces them off the team. He's like, you guys we're done. We're breaking up the crew after they rescued Wesley Snipes. And I loved the beginning. Like, I thought with Wesley Snipes, I was like, hey, I'm in. Like, give me more of this. And as soon as the fun ends with the old guys, they introduce the younger Expendables.
Yes, he basically retires the old guys because he doesn't think they can handle it anymore.
Yeah, even though they're all
just badasses.
Yeah, even though they were just fine on the mission before that.
Yeah.
So the new guys show up and just suck the life out of this movie. The little life that's in this movie is just, I got so bored. I think I nodded off for about 5-10 minutes.
How does Kellan Lutz have a career?
I have no idea.
He's in the Twilight films, and he literally just kind of grunts in the background or smiles.
He doesn't really
do any like acting. He's just there to look pretty.
Yeah,
with his cross eyes.
Yeah. Was he in Hercules as well this year?
That one that never opened.
Oh, it didn't open, eh?
Well, it opened in like 10 theaters.
Oh, okay.
Like The Legend of Hercules or whatever.
Yeah. There's a guy who should not be in movies. Ronda Rousey should not even be allowed to act in commercials, let alone a full-length movie.
And I didn't really know the other ones.
Yeah, neither did I.
I thought they were supposed to be action stars, but I'd never heard of them. Maybe I just don't watch shitty action films.
Maybe. The other thing I wanted to mention, too, though, is Antonio Banderas is in this, and he is great. Yeah, he seems to be the only one who cares in the whole movie.
That's not true. I guess there is kind of a plot to this. Mel Gibson.
Oh, right. I forgot he's in this.
Who I thought was really quite fun in the film.
Yeah.
Was one of the original members of the Expendables. And it seems when Stallone gets tired of his team, he retires them many times. He's done this.
Right.
And Mel Gibson's character was part of the original Expendables crew.
Yeah.
And he got retired. And now he wants payback. And, you know, they're all going to go after him and fight. And that fight is about the last half hour of the film.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty damn fun.
Yeah. A bunch of bad guys getting killed and explosions.
I really did not want to like this film at all because I was not liking it. Because as you said, the middle part is just like, oh my God, who are these stupid people? Why are they here?
Yeah.
The last half hour is really fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty fun. And the team gets back together and Banderas gets a chance to shine again. And again, in the sense that he disappears in the film and comes back and he just steals it. He's awesome.
He never shuts up.
I was listening to another podcast called Movie BS, where one of the guys said that Banderas' opening scene, he thought it played like a Leslie Nielsen Naked Gun thing. Because he's doing like parkour and he's jumping up and down and he looks super young, right? Like he looks like a kid. And then he pulls off his mask and it's Antonio Banderas. And it was totally like a Naked Gun gag where it's obvious that it's some stunt double. But I don't think that was the intention in the movie.
This film got released on the internet 2 or 3 weeks before it opened. And it absolutely bombed at the box office. I do blame piracy, but at the same time, did you ever hear anybody in the world say, oh my God, I want another Expendables film?
No.
Nobody wanted to see this
film. No, nobody wanted. There was no demand for this at all.
I'd be shocked if it made 10 million bucks.
You know, I think 20 years ago, this would have been a huge hit.
Oh, totally.
If they could have just got their heads out of their asses and get their egos in check, it would have been pretty sweet, like 20 years ago.
There's some pretty funny lines with Wesley Snipes talking about tax evasion.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought were pretty funny. And Arnold says one of his, like, all-time lines.
Oh.
And I got pretty happy about that. But
and then he says it again.
I know. I was like, okay, it was good the first time, dude.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not bad. It's better than the other two.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of hated the first one.
Yeah.
I thought it was just pointless. Second one was okay.
Yeah.
This one's just a little better. The last half hour is fun. Go and think all my favorite stars are in this film. There'll probably never be another one because nobody wants to see it.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll like it. Maybe you won't. Check it out, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll like it. I'm so not into this film. Like,
yeah.
It was okay, but other than the last half hour, I didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
But that last half hour is pretty fun, so.
Yeah. I think it's one that is wait for Netflix or your movie channel, whatever you subscribe to.
Well, I think it's probably gone from the theater anyway. So.
By the time this gets posted, it'll be long gone.
Yeah,
I don't even think second run theaters will play it. Anyway, I don't know why I'm beating up on Expendables 3.
It's enough.
Yeah, I think we've had enough of the Expendables 3. Moving on to the next one, one that I've already hinted at how I feel, is Sin City, A Dame to Kill For. Frank Miller's Sin City, A Dame to Kill For. I need a minute to catch my breath here, but what do you think?
That's a bad title.
It's terrible, isn't it?
Do you think
it?
Anybody went up to the box office and said, can I get one for Frank Miller's Sin City, A Dame to Kill For?
I can picture only a super nerd doing that, but
yeah. No. I tell you the truth, I watched this entire film and I was like, I don't really remember what happened in the first film, so that couldn't have been good. I watched this one and I'm like, who's this person? Why are they all fighting? Was there supposed to be any kind of plot to this movie? Because it didn't get me at all.
Yeah, no, there was, and that's where it gets frustrating, is because in the first Sin City, this is a spoiler for first Sin City, but come on, it's like 9 years ago. Marv died in the first one, the Mickey Rourke character. So when he's on screen, you're like, wait a minute, he died in the first one.
Okay, what?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
So I think that was all prequel stuff. And I believe Josh Brolin's character was the same character that Clive Owen played in the first Sin City. Yeah.
No wonder I'm confused.
Yeah, that's why there was that relation. Like, he has this sort of relationship with the girl with the mask. She had...
Rosario Dawson?
Yeah, Rosario Dawson. That's why they were so close. And they were close in the first one. But, yeah, that was Clive Owen's character, I believe. Anyway,
I'm lost.
It's a mess.
I am completely lost.
It's a mess of a film.
Watching this, and it has like a broken timeline. Joseph Gordon-Levitt shows up as a poker player who never loses, except for he takes it too far one night and gets in trouble and gets his fingers broken and decides he's going to come back and play one more game.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I don't care. Yeah. I really don't care.
There was no reason to care for that character. And
every character who comes into the bar where Nancy, the Jessica Alba character, strips.
Yeah. Yeah.
Random people show up and Marv teams up with them without even knowing them.
Yeah.
Out of the blue and like helps him do some death-defying thing just because he's Marv.
Yeah.
And then I just don't care. I really don't. The idea of it being stylish, the first movie, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Did nothing for me this time.
I did sort of enjoy some of the visuals and the 3D stuff, but that was just when snow was falling and I was like, oh, that looks kind of cool.
I hated this film. It did nothing for me.
Yeah.
Except for, I kind of thought, Joseph Gordon-Levitt was okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Is Eva Green pretty?
And she's very gifted.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
I must say. no, this movie's really bad. Whatever you said about Rodriguez, I completely agree with. He's just a completely generic, thinks he's the shit director.
Yeah.
And he's really not.
Yeah. He really needs to get back to his roots kind of thing, I think. I don't know if he can.
you read the credits and it's like written and directed by Robert Rodriguez, scored by Robert Rodriguez, blah, blah, blah by Robert. Yeah. And it's like, dude.
Yeah. Take a step back, man. Yeah. Did he edit this movie too? Yep. I wonder. Yeah.
Yeah. He does everything on his movies.
Yeah. That's a big issue. Like, it takes a hell of a director to edit their own film.
Because you have nobody saying this does not work.
Yeah.
And it didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, none of it tied together. And the violence was just for the sake of violence. Like, there's a lot of violence and action in this movie. And for me to be bored and on the verge of falling asleep during that stuff, that's absurd.
Yeah.
But yeah, every time I tried to think of the narrative, any kind of plot in this movie and how it tied to the first, I got very confused. And it just took me out of the movie. So
I blame Quentin Tarantino for this movie.
Oh, yeah? You think so?
Because when he made Pulp Fiction, he really got people into like a split narrative.
But
he's a pretty special guy to pull that off.
Yeah, you can't just run in and do it and hope it works.
No. It's not one of the worst films of the year. You're certainly going to see a lot worse than this.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of talent in this film.
Yeah.
And this should have been better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, no excuse.
Yeah, like Stacy Keach was in there for about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And his character could have been played by anybody. Yeah. He didn't need to be there. So it's like such a waste.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, avoid this one.
Avoid Sin City. Yeah, Frank Miller's Sin City at Andy Kilford.
Please listen. Never say that again. Never
Sin
say that
City
again.
2.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what I said when I got my ticket. Yes. And I got a ticket for Sin City.
Yeah. Which one? All right, so should we move on to maybe a much, much better film?
Oh, please.
Yes, let's get into a really, really great film that we watched last night, The Trip to Italy. You know a little bit more about these guys than, well, probably a lot more than me about these guys. Tell the listeners about The Trip to Italy.
Steve Coogan and Rod Brydon have been friends for a very long time. And the thing that's good about that is they have a real natural rapport with each other. Coogan's more known for slapsticky comedy, but lately he's been also coming into dramas. Like, have you seen 24 Hour Party People?
No, I haven't seen that.
That's my favorite Steve Coogan movie. It's, oh, cool. It's really great.
Yeah.
He also was in my worst film of the year so far, Alan Partridge.
Oh, I love that movie, man.
That might be the reason why I hate Alan Partridge so much, because you see Steve Coogan in this film. And he's so good and natural and funny without being stupid.
Yeah, he does. He is very good in this.
Rob Brydon's known for impressions. He's quite good. But the funny thing is that Steve Coogan outdoes him in the impressions in the movie.
He does.
Yeah, he's also really good.
Yeah.
Literally, the plot of this film is Rob Brydon and Steve Coogan get paid by the Guardian newspaper to go around Italy and eat some food. And they talk to each other, and it's hilarious.
Yeah. They'll talk about all kinds of stuff. They'll talk about death. They'll talk about career choices.
Michael Caine bearing Batman.
Michael Caine. I was like crying during that scene.
I will not bury another Batman.
Yeah. What did he say? He was like, please talk to me like Mr. Wayne, not like Batman. I can't understand you, sir.
They also go on this really great riff about not being able to understand Bane.
Oh, yeah.
And how Christian Bale kind of talks really like low and mumbly. Yeah.
And when Brydon's doing his Christian Bale, like, Coogan's like, it sounds like you're deaf. It's like, what are you talking about? And it's just so funny. Like, oh, it's a really great film.
It's really great to see these amazingly fast-witted comedians cheap shot each other.
Oh, yeah. There's no shortage of that.
And both of them just don't care. I'm going to outdo you. I'm going to cheap shot you harder.
Yeah.
And my God, is this movie funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually read an interview where, I can't remember which one of them, but they both seem to agree that some of that stuff was very personal and tough for them to do to each other because they're friends, right? And they don't want to take it too far. But they really took it far in some of the times when they're making fun of each other. And remember the first movie, The Trip, Coogan took a shot at Brydon by saying, like, well, at least I do things that people remember. And he was just like, oh, that's brutal.
Oh, and the best part of the film, you might not agree, but Rod Brydon likes to do karaoke.
Oh, yeah.
He likes to sing to everything. Yeah. And he has one CD with him because his iPod won't work in the car.
Yeah, that's right.
It's Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And both of them singing to Alanis Morissette is the funniest thing.
That's pretty great.
And Steve Coogan, like, interpreting the lyrics to, like, the songs and just the funniest things you've heard. Oh,
yeah.
So good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that bit was hilarious where Brydon was singing and Coogan's going, well, yes, that would bother me. Oh, man. So good. But, yeah, they're just so sharp and funny. And there were parts in the movie where they both sort of broke character a tiny little bit, even though they're playing themselves. You could see when they were just genuinely laughing at each other and just having a good time. And the other thing I wanted to mention is that I believe the script is very loose. They're given a lot of freedom. So it's hard to tell when they're just ad-libbing and when they're reading dialogue that they've pre-written and stuff. And I love that about it. It's just so natural.
I wish I was that sharp. I really do. They are super quick.
Yeah.
And it's not just all funny parts, because, yeah, there's a lot of funny parts, but there's some really cool, like, real-life moments.
Yeah.
Bryden's character's having problems with his wife, and Coogan misses his kids, and yeah. and that's what I think makes the film really special.
Yeah.
You know, other than being really hilarious, because it is, but I don't think a film would work if it didn't have the quiet moments, too.
Oh, for sure. There were some really beautiful human moments in that film that really kind of, it gives you a break from that laughter and gives you a sense of, wait, these guys are real people and they have emotions, and it gives you sort of that sense of the pain behind the laughter that we always see and hear about from people who, you know, interview comedians or comedians who have kind of opened up about what it's like to be on the road and be alone all the time. And
I've got a weird question. Do you think this film maybe just worked for us? Because I really didn't hear a lot of people laughing in that theater last night.
Well, I heard sparse laughter.
We were losing our minds.
Oh, yeah. We were just, like, losing our shit. I do think, in a sense, you do have to be, like, a really... It's not enough just to go in thinking, oh, well, here's a movie I'd like to see. I think it'll have more appeal to fans of Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon. And I'm still a relative newcomer to both of them. But the stuff I've watched, I've certainly appreciated. But yeah, I think you kind of have to be a fan of both to really get the jokes. And you also have to have a lot of knowledge of, like, James Bond movies and Michael Caine movies and Batman.
That should be pretty easy stuff, though.
Oh, yeah, that's novice.
But stuff. Well, we're both losing our minds, and I'm looking around and I'm not seeing anybody laugh.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, are we watching the same film?
Yeah. Well, I think, too, some people just don't know how to deal with even happy and fun emotions at movies. There are times when I see people refraining their laughter, and in sad movies, I see people laughing.
Ah, gotta let it out.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm thinking of I'll tell you which movie I watched, but at the end of this one movie I watched, it was really sad at the end, just heartbreaking. I was like, tears in my eyes, and a character says something that's just so upsetting and just so brutal, and there was a bunch of couples around me, they all started laughing, and I was just like, these people just don't know how to deal with their emotions.
Was it Fault in Our Stars?
It was. God damn it. That movie got me, man. No, it didn't.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
Love it.
Oh, yeah. But I posted on Twitter right after the movie on my way out the door. I said, good luck beating that for best comedy of the year. I think it'll stand as the best comedy of the year.
I don't see why not. I think it's really that damn good.
Yeah.
I don't know how big it's opened in North America.
Yeah, neither do I.
But if you definitely get a chance to see it, I think it's a pretty damn good hour and 40 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's superb.
Yeah.
And if you could comment on Winterbottom, because you mentioned Michael Winterbottom, the director.
Yeah, he's a real art house director, which makes it kind of funny. Like, a couple films ago, he shot a film that was X-rated, had real hardcore sex in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and which is funny because these are the complete opposites.
Yeah.
And it's this movie about people talking, but because of Winterbottom, it's Italy is so beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And he shoots it like a mofo.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a beautiful film, and I really want to go to Italy, but go to film festivals and spend all my money that way.
Yeah. But yeah, the cinematography is beautiful, well directed, well put together. Because yeah, it's cut together from a TV series, right?
Yeah.
What is it? 3 hours of footage, I think.
About that, yeah.
Cut down to an hour 40 minutes, and it's sharp. There are a couple of scenes where I could kind of see the seams a little bit, where you could tell something was cut a little bit short. But that's minor gripes.
Yeah, this could have been 3 hours long.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't have cared.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
Yeah. The trip to Italy, big, big recommendation from us.
High recommendation.
Yeah. Do you have anything else to add before we move on to the next bit?
No, I'm good.
Wicked. All right, check out The Trip to Italy. Okay, so I guess we're ready to move into some lightning round action. This is where we just briefly talk about films that we've seen since the last podcast.
And you actually watched some.
I did. Hey, now. Hey, man. Back off. Bill's usually the hardcore one. The funny thing is, I'm still pretty hardcore for like an average moviegoer, but for Bill's level.
I am not normal.
Bill is a maniac.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's start off the lightning round with If I Stay. It's a movie, a young adult adaptation where girl gets in a car accident with her family, her parents die, her brother's in the hospital. She's kind of in limbo. She's not quite dead, but they present it like she's in the afterlife. And this ridiculous nurse is like, it's up to you whether you live or die. And it's like, shut up,
huge,
you idiot.
Cue dramatic music.
That's right. Yeah, this movie beats you over the head with an aggressive score that just didn't work on me.
It was funny because usually those work on you and you cry.
I usually do. I usually fucking movie, man. And I would say I'm a Chloe Grace Moretz fan. I enjoy her work, but this is just, you know, she's kind of trying to move into more mature roles, and you know, I think it works for the target audience, which is 12-year-old girls
who have no taste.
That's right. Who will hopefully watch better films as they grow up, but yeah, I don't know. I don't have much else to say about
it. And to those people, I say watch Fault in Our Stars.
Oh,
Bill Harris approves.
Oh, man, it is garbage.
Other than Chloe Grace Moretz, I really hated this film too.
Yeah.
I don't really have much to say about it that you already didn't, but yeah. Avoid the hell out of this one. I don't, it's awful. Young adult.
Yeah.
That should be, I think I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really am. Unless it's got Katniss in it.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah. There's really no need for us to see it. Like anybody over the age of 14.
Except for Maze Runner looks kind of cool.
Oh, you think so? You're a fucking liar, man.
I am.
You almost got me, man. I hate that trailer so much.
Every time I go see a movie, I see that trailer. It drives me nuts.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like that movie. If I Stay, not good.
Yeah.
Continue.
All right. The one I love is the next one. We'll talk about the film starring Mark Duplass and Elizabeth Moss. Independent film that's out on demand right now. We both highly recommend it, right?
Yeah, I think it's great. Had no idea what it was about.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah, that's the best way to go into
it. Because if you think you know what this movie is, you don't.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give you just the basic framework there.
Watch your step.
I will. I can edit myself if I need to at the end of this. Married couple trying to find that spark they had when they first
rekindle
the magic. They go to see Ted Danson.
Yeah, how cool is that?
I know. He plays like a therapist, psychiatrist. He
plays a bartender.
No, that's right. And he says, go to this place, go for a weekend retreat. And they go off to this house where they're supposed to find their love and their magic all over again. And that's about as far as I want to say in terms of plot. But in terms of the performances, Duplass and Moss are just terrific together. They're kind of magical on screen. It's truly like an actor's film, and I just loved watching them play on the screen.
Elizabeth Moss has a lot of credit from Mad Men.
Oh, yeah.
People know who she is. Mm-hmm. Not enough people know who Mark Duplass is.
That's true.
He is really damn good.
Yeah.
I also really quite enjoy the show The League.
Yeah, The League's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which starts next week, I think. Season 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's super underrated. The film is... We always complain about trailers, right?
Right, yeah.
I had no idea what this film was.
Yeah, yeah.
No idea.
Yeah.
Completely shocked me.
Yeah.
I was super tired when I started to watch it. I could barely keep my eyes open.
Yeah.
And within 10 minutes, I was hooked.
Nice. Yeah, it hooks you in quickly.
I'm gonna go on record as saying that if there's one film you should watch that's not called The Trip to Italy,
yeah,
this podcast.
Yep.
It is the one I love.
Yeah, absolutely. Out of the movies we're talking about today, those are the two movies that you really need to see.
Yeah, throw out your $5 on VOD or iTunes or whatever device you use.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth it.
Yeah.
Highest recommendation.
Yeah, the one I love. Really great film. So I also watched, we watched this separately, The F Word, Michael Dowse film. And it's about two people who become friends at a party. Daniel Radcliffe and Zoe Kazan become friends.
Played by Harry Potter and Ruby Sparks.
Harry Potter and Ruby Sparks. And I say that I believe that every woman out there is envious of Kazan's bangs. They're spectacular. And she is beautiful. Anyway.
Every girl under the age of 30 wants to bang Daniel Radcliffe.
Oh, yeah,
I've heard this like multiple times.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they meet at a party. But the thing is, Radcliffe is the character who doesn't believe in love. And Zoe Kazan's character is in a relationship. She's in a long-term relationship. She loves her boyfriend. So they're like, well, let's just be friends. And that's why it's called The F Word. It's a charming film. I think it's elevated by both of these performers. And I think without some skillful direction and chemistry on screen, it could have been a really bad movie.
I think it's one of Dowse's worst films.
Really?
Hear me out on this one.
Yeah, yeah.
I really love Michael Dowse.
Yeah.
My favorite Michael Dowse film is It's All Gone, Pete Tong. Have you seen that one?
I still haven't seen it. It's really great. Yeah.
And it wouldn't be a podcast without us bringing up FUBAR.
Oh, yeah. FUBAR. Love FUBAR.
FUBAR 2 is great.
Yeah.
This one is really cute,
mm-hmm.
but it's exactly what you think it is.
Oh, yeah.
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 Plus, it has the worst tacked-on ending I've seen in a very long time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a... Yeah.
No spoilers, but it was a reshoot.
Yeah, I mean, you can totally tell.
It's the most obvious reshoot you've ever seen. Everybody has different hair colors.
Yeah.
And their hair has, like, been trimmed, like, half its length.
Yeah.
And it's so out of place.
Yeah.
It took me completely out of the film.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
As I said, it's very cute. Zoe Kazan, Daniel Radcliffe, very good. Mackenzie Davis, Adam Driver.
Yeah, Driver, yeah.
Yeah. Really, really cute. It's good. It's just not great.
Yeah. I'm kind of at the same.
And it has the worst retitle ever for an American audience.
Oh, yeah. What If?
It's called What If in the Americas. Yeah. Because people can't hear the F word.
Yeah.
Without thinking, fuck. It has nothing to do with it.
I know, right? He just said it. He just captured it perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. I enjoyed it. I hesitate to recommend it, though, for the same reasons you mentioned, because, we're not seeing anything new here. Yeah. It's not refreshing, but I enjoyed the performances so much that I had a good time watching it.
Yeah, it's fun. It's cute. It's definitely, I'd watch it. I'd tell people to watch it, but, don't go out of your way to, like, rush to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fun.
Next, As Above, So Below, the horror film that just opened this weekend, starring a woman who is basically like Lara Croft.
A bunch of unknowns.
It's a Lara Croft / Indiana Jones kind of character they're going for. She is an adventurer. She can translate fancy words.
Every time there's a situation, there's somebody in the group who has the knowledge to fix.
Oh, yeah.
Which drove me nuts.
It's like, they're like, what are those called? The Swiss Army Knife. It was like the Swiss Army Knife of characters.
It was like the Roger Federer? Like, what?
Yeah.
No, this group of Tomb Raiders go to some catacombs and stuff happens.
Yeah.
And they still forgot their damn tripod.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, shaky.
Oh!
Headache-inducing shaky cam, right?
Oh, my God! If I never see another found footage film again, I'll be happy.
Yeah, and there was no need for this to be found footage at all.
Like, can people just not, like, keep the camera still?
Yeah.
Like, even when they're just, like, walking along, it is jarring.
And the thing is... You really hated this film, right?
You liked this film.
I liked it. I had a good time watching it.
I saw it before you, and I texted you. I said, as below, What did I say?
I can't remember. It was funny, though.
As above, so shit.
That's what I said. Yeah, that's right. That's right. See, for me, what I bought in to everything in this movie. I was like, I was along for the ride. And when I realized what I was doing is it was like an amusement park ride, like going through a haunted house kind of thing. Maybe not everything's going to work. Maybe not everything's going to scare you, but I had fun sitting through.
Well, here's one thing I did like. I thought the catacombs themselves were pretty cool.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, some of the claustrophobic stuff was pretty good.
Yeah.
Rest of it, no.
Yeah.
One of the worst films of the year.
You think so, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, man. No, I can't go with that
at all. I'm not alone on this one, dude. I'm not alone.
Oh, yeah. It's not one that's easy to defend because of everything Bill said. Like, the shaky cam stuff is just unnecessary. And we'll put off, you know, genre fans. Like, we're at a point now where the people that they're marketing this to don't want this anymore.
We've seen it all. And unless you bring something to it, like a Blair Witch, which is kind of different, you've already seen it, and you don't want to see it again.
Yeah. Every horror trope is in this. You see a shadow in the background. You see somebody walk by really quickly. There's somebody sitting over there in the corner.
The scariest thing in this movie was this girl. There was like, I think, two or three people in the theater.
Yeah.
And this one girl with her boyfriend would not stop screaming
every time something happened
on the screen.
Nice.
And that freaked me out more than the movie.
Yeah.
And that's pretty bad.
Yeah. I didn't find it particularly scary, but I was entertained. Again, it's one I kind of reluctantly enjoyed because I went in going, fuck this movie.
Dude, you're such a cheap lay.
Not at all, dude. See, I've shut down movies like The Fault in Our Stars and If I Stay.
Yeah, but you're wrong on that one.
No way.
Fault in Our Stars is awesome.
Oh, dude, you're such a bad person. Oh, I can't believe you go out there and tell people that in public. It's crazy.
I have this really weird feeling that if I watched Fault in Our Stars again, I would hate it.
You should watch it again when it comes out again on VOD. Just and we can talk about it later.
No,
how did it hold up?
I think I'm going to keep that pristine vision of the film that I have right now.
We'll record a commentary track. Here's the bullshit. It's just piled on.
It's just Adrian going, shut up.
Oh, you're such a bitch. Anyway,
anything else?
That's all I had for lightning round.
Sweet. I watched a few. The new Kelly Reichardt film, Night Moves. I don't know if you're familiar with Kelly Reichardt, but she makes kind of slow moving films. This one's about some environmentalists who blow up a dam.
Okay.
And you're trying to be good and all, but somebody ends up getting killed.
Ah.
Somebody was sleeping on the beach where the dam was.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just becomes this giant movie about paranoia and how they think they're going to get caught.
Okay.
Except for it really moves slow. I've liked her other films quite a bit. This one I thought was really slow.
Ah.
It's good. It's just, I can't recommend it to anybody.
Oh, is that right?
No.
Yeah.
It's really slow.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, she's a really talented filmmaker. I like the film, but I can't really recommend it to anybody. It sucks.
Yeah.
The Giver.
Oh, right.
FUBAR 3.
The FUBAR 3. Yeah.
Kind of wants to be Pleasantville. That's like black and white photography, and everybody, once they get like clued in, it becomes color.
Ah, awesome.
It's not good. Another young adult one that I did not like.
Yeah.
Skip the hell out of that one. That's all I got on that one.
Yeah.
Another one that I didn't really know what to think about until I really thought about it. Frank.
Oh, right. Yeah.
A movie that really stuck with me after.
Sweet.
Yeah. The premise of a band trying to make an album, and they're all really eccentric, but there's a reason why they're eccentric, because they're all kind of like crazy.
Oh, really? No way.
Yeah.
I didn't get that from the trailer at all.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, one guy's got a big paper mache mask thing on.
Played by Fassbender, right?
Michael Fassbender. It starts off kind of goofy, and I didn't really know where it was going, but by the end, I was just absolutely stunned by the the thoughts on mental illness and just kind of blown away by Michael Fassbender and his giant head.
Oh, no way. That's cool. Yeah,
it's really good. But it's also hard to recommend because it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But hey, whatever. SwearNet.
Ooh, the guys from the Trailer Park Boys, right? Is that the one?
Yep.
Yeah.
Second worst film I've seen this year.
Oh, no way.
Nothing will beat Alan Partridge. I've already said this.
All right.
Every third word coming out of their mouth is a swear.
Ah, nice.
No.
No.
Does not work at all.
It's not even funny. It's
no.
Just...
No, it's like you're trying to be... The whole premise of the film is that... they've been told they have to censor themselves.
Yeah.
So they just go completely overboard.
Oh, nice.
It's not funny.
Yeah.
And it becomes really annoying. Oh. And after like 10 minutes of it,
yeah,
you want to leave.
Oh, that bad, eh?
Yeah, but crazy. I stuck through it.
That's crazy.
For you podcast peeps.
That's right. So we could talk about it for 90 seconds.
And I love Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah.
Love them.
Yeah.
This movie's terrible. Second worst film I've seen this year.
Brutal.
Do not see this film.
Yeah, I'm going to skip
it. And luckily, nobody's going to see it.
Yeah.
Because nobody cares.
Yeah.
The November Man.
Oh, Pierce Brosnan, right?
Ooh. I don't like crappy 80s kind of action films.
Yeah.
And this is kind of... Like an 80s Jason Bourne film.
Oh, okay.
It's really, really violent and lots of people getting killed. Didn't care at all.
Really?
No, hated this film.
Oh.
I'm a bit of a snob when it comes to action films.
Yeah.
I don't really like them.
Mm-hmm.
So, not my film, but, maybe people will like it.
Yeah.
And that is it. I didn't like a lot of films.
Yeah, it's a tough time of the year because it's... August is where films get kind of buried. It's almost like the second January, February time of at the movies, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to find a really great film unless it's like a limited release film like The Trip to Italy or the one I love. A couple gems that kind of saved us for this podcast.
Yeah, if you for some reason don't want to see those ones, go see Boyhood.
Oh, Boyhood, yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Boyhood's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, for us, that's our favorite film of the summer, right?
Yeah, easily.
Yeah.
We both got second viewings in on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Between the last podcast.
And holds up great.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
I think it's only getting better.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah. And I'm starting to warm up to the idea that you're talking about, how it's the best film of the last 10 years, and... better than the Before trilogy. I can totally see that now. Like, I'm always reluctant with that stuff, you know me, but I'm just like, I'll be sitting at work or driving to work or at home and I'll start thinking about Boyhood and just it sticks with me. And I'll go back to that and I'll feel the feelings I felt when I was watching it. And then I want to watch it again.
Then he starts crying like a bitch.
And then I start crying. And then my cat comes up to me and meows at me and I cry more. Anyway, I guess we should talk about the movies we have coming up in the next couple of weeks. The ones we will mention, we'll talk about on the next episode. It's pretty thin, isn't it?
I don't even know some of these films.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
Yeah.
The first one, The Identical.
Never heard of it.
Film number two.
Yeah.
From the what? File Forrest Gump and IMAX.
Oh yeah, I can't wait to skip that.
The film that beat Pulp Fiction for Best Picture.
Yeah,
which I might have pointed out on our Fuck the Oscars podcast.
Oh yeah,
made me never want to watch the Oscars again.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Do we really need to see that in 1570?
Yeah, no, definitely not.
That's the only two movies that week.
Oh, no way. What's the next
not
week?
True. The new Adam Egoyan film opens in Canada.
Oh, that's right. That you said is getting slammed.
Yeah.
Right?
I forget the name of it.
Yeah.
Because I hate Adam Egoyan.
Whatever.
My worst film of last year, Devil's Knot.
Devil's Knot. Do not see that movie.
Adam Egoyan. Adrian's worst film of this year so far.
Was oh, my God. Devil's Knot. So bad.
September 12th. Speaking of films that we really didn't think needed a sequel, Dolphin Tale 2.
Oh, that trailer. I hate the trailer, man. Yeah, it just... Ugh.
The first one wasn't terrible.
Okay.
You didn't see it?
No, I didn't see it.
Okay. Wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Like, it's a typical kids film. I'm sure kids loved it.
Yeah.
Didn't need a sequel.
Yeah.
Thought they pretty much told the whole story in the first one.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. Another film I don't know what it is. No Good Deed.
Haven't heard of it.
Sweet. I should have done some research on this.
That's but, all good.
I don't, yeah. The Disappearance of Eleanor Rigby.
That I've heard of.
Yeah. We saw a trailer last night.
That looks pretty sweet.
Looks amazing.
Yeah.
James McAvoy, Jessica Chastain.
Yeah.
Was two movies and they cut it to one.
Oh, is that? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
One from his perspective, one from her perspective.
Oh, no way.
Supposedly the two-part version is being released later.
Oh, wow. That'd be cool to see.
Yeah. But I'm definitely going to see that one.
Yeah.
That's all for that week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember last podcast I said there wasn't a lot coming out in the next month?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. September 19th, The Maze Runner.
Ugh. Screw that movie.
Yeah, Greeny.
I'm not going to watch it. Screw you.
After that, This Is Where I Leave You.
Oh.
Which is like the old people version of The Expendables.
Yeah.
Everybody is in this movie.
Every white person is in that movie.
It looks like kind of like an okay family drama with Jane Fonda's breasts.
Yeah.
They showed that way too much from the trailer.
They did, yeah.
The opening film of Fantastic Fest, Tusk.
Oh, that's right.
Kevin Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I totally thought this was opening later.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes the Fantastic Fest opening look a little weaker.
Yeah, they tend to do that, though. They always open a film that opens within like a week or two.
Yeah, I thought this was like October.
Yeah, not so much. Not. Opens like a day after.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So I could have, I might actually, if I don't get into it, I'll just, I don't care.
Just see it I'll the see next day else. Or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. If I have a break in my schedule, I'll go to another Alamo Draft House and watch Tusk.
Yeah, yeah.
The Walk Among the Tombstones.
Liam Neeson.
The yearly Liam Neeson kick-ass film.
Yep.
Where he plays a cop who got his badge taken away for killing a civilian.
Oh, no.
Now he's a private detective.
He's got a skill set.
Yeah. You know what? Something about this.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm getting a vibe off this one.
It looks pulpy and like kind of, it looks kind of stylized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Liam Neeson.
Yeah. I'll see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks okay.
Yeah.
The new Adam Wingard film, The Guest.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Starring Dan Stevens from Downton Abbey.
Okay.
Another show I watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. But an ex-army guy who comes to the house of a family who just found out their one of their family members was killed in the war, and he said he knows them,
mm-hmm.
and starts to live with them, and he's a bit of a psycho.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Cool. Looks pretty good.
Nice.
Love me some psycho films.
Yeah.
And the last film, Hector and the Search for Happiness.
Oh, yes.
Simon Pegg.
Yeah, where he doesn't play Simon Pegg.
Playing Walter Mitty.
That's right. I didn't think of that till
now. It looks like a good version of Walter Mitty.
Hey, and I liked Walter Mitty.
I didn't. But Simon Pegg trying to find happiness. I want to live in a world where Simon Pegg can be married to Rosamund Pike.
And be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that world.
I never thought of that.
She is a beaut.
Yeah, you've got Rosamund Pike. Like, what else do you need, man?
Yeah. And she seems to actually like you.
Yeah. The trailer has her crying in every scene and on the phone, and then he cries on the phone. And
yeah.
It's kind of like me when I call Sarah during my lunch break.
I think it looks really cute.
Yeah.
I want to see it.
Yeah, same here. Yeah.
But, other than that, that is it. And that is, there's like maybe two movies there.
Yeah.
That I want to see.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a thin month, man. Thankfully, festival season will save us.
Yeah. We won't even be around.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. I just had a few announcements. I wanted to upcoming films playing at the local film festivals, the local theaters here in Victoria. Cinecenta opens Tracks for one night only on September 2nd.
Which was on my top 10 list of last year.
Yeah, yeah. I still haven't seen it, so if I get a chance, I'll check it out. Here's one that Bill didn't like. I don't know what's wrong with him, but Obvious Child, September 10th and 11th, a film I thought was really funny, and I really liked the character in that.
Shite.
No way, dude. Don't listen to Bill on
complete
that one.
Complete shite.
No, it's funny.
The most annoying character in a film the entire year.
She is funny.
No, she is not.
She made me laugh. I was laughing. The other person who was in the theater laughed. There was two of us. I forgot to tell you that. That's why it only played in Victoria for 1 week. Anyway.
No, it's because it sucked.
No, it's good.
Oh.
Oh, it got a lot of really great reviews, too, from legit critics and stuff. So,
who've anyway. Completely lost me now.
And on the 15th.
And fuck you, I'm legit.
Sure you are. Oh, gosh. Don't get me started on that.
Too legit to quit.
Oh, man.
Like I'm hammer.
Hammer pants, yeah. The whole thing. And at CineCenta, September 15th, The Grand Budapest Hotel plays.
I've heard that's good.
Yeah, it's a beautiful film. That Wes Anderson guy's going places, yeah. I think. He's an up-and-comer. The Vic Theater plays, this is one I believe you enjoyed, Begin Again, September 8th and 11th,
yeah.
Through 11th.
I was really embarrassed that I liked it.
Yeah, I didn't see it, so maybe I'll check it out. I just never got the chance to see it or made the time, I guess. They also play Tracks, September 12th and 13th at the Vic Theater. So that's about it, I guess, for upcoming movies and stuff playing nearby.
This might be the first time ever that we haven't mentioned Chef.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. One of the best summer films of the year. Chef.
Adrian Chung.
That's right.
NextProjection.com.
That's right. It truly is. I guess we should move into closure. It's that time of the episode. One thing I've noticed in checking where people listen, most of our listeners listen on like a browser like Firefox or Internet Explorer. You can also find us on a lot of other platforms. So you can take us on the go, throw us on your iPod or your Android device. So we're available on the following platforms. We're available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Windows phones, BlackBerry phones. Just run a search for The Green Screen of Death. You'll find us. You can subscribe to us there. And we'd really appreciate some likes, some ratings, and some comments. Feedback is always nice. We already heard back from one person and it made our day. And on that topic, we have a Facebook page as well, so you can check us out. Run a search for The Green Screen of Death. You'll see us on Facebook and like the page, and we post a few things in there. So where can people find you on the internet, Bill?
I don't have any of those other things. I just have Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm at soundjam69.
All right.
I don't have a Facebook account, and I don't really care about social media, except for I'm talking about footy or movies.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. And you can find me on Twitter at Adrian_Charlie. You can find the show's Twitter account at @TheGreen_Screen. It's the easiest place to connect with us, and give us a shout. Send us some feedback if you like.
I got a question, sir.
Yeah.
I'm going to raise my hand over
here. Yeah. Well, you over there.
What are we doing next show?
Next show, we'll probably talk about Fantastic Fest and stuff. I'm thinking, because, yeah, in 3 weeks we'll be in Austin.
And hell, maybe if we're even lucky, they'll have the fucking schedule up.
We'll probably do a preview show, I think.
Can you tell I'm angry?
That's right. Yeah. And just a heads up, probably at least the next two or three episodes are going to be very specialized in film festivals, such as Fantastic Fest, Vancouver International Film Festival. Well, we're going to be talking about films that maybe you haven't heard of, and hopefully we'll put some on your radar, and we'll get the word out for some great films. We'll also talk about the bad ones, too, because that's always fun.
I kind of think we should maybe put a mic near all the barbecue we're eating.
Oh, yeah.
And like get some audio of that. I'm just us going, oh.
That's right. That would be pretty fun. But, yeah, we'll bring our portable recorder. The audio will be just a little bit different in those recordings, and we'll give you a heads up on that.
I'll still sound sexy.
That's right. Bill will still have that the lights turned low sound. Anyway, I think on that note, we should say goodnight. So until next time, thanks very much for listening.
Peace.